Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday over the airways of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. It's 888-623-3646. Usually, I start off with an opening monologue, but when I have special guests, I make an exception. He's a star wide receiver in the National Football League, playing for the Los Angeles Rams right now. Practically all he's done this year is catch touchdowns, like 14 touchdowns. I'm talking about the one and only Devontae Adams of the Los Angeles Rams. What's up, Big Tom? How are you, man? How's everything?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Man, please, the honor is all mine. First things first, how's your health? I know you was on the field. I know you played last week. But I want to know how your health has been because of the hamstring injury and all of that stuff that forced you to miss a few games, you know, over the last few weeks. How you feeling?
Yeah, I feel good, man. I can't complain. Coming out of that game, I think we just dealt with some normal football soreness and, you know, kind of some of the nicks and bruises that you deal with getting back and playing playoff football. I caught a nice little hit out there to woke me back up, welcome me back to the field. So that was nice to get one of those and be all right. So, yeah, we're feeling good, though. Can't complain.
If you hadn't been injured and missed those games, do you believe the Rams would have been the number one seed in the NFC?
Well, you know, it's tough to say that. I think obviously anytime, you know, you lose somebody that, you know, whether it's me or Puka or whoever the case may be, anytime you lose somebody that, you know, provides a lot for your offense, you know, puts points on the board and you know, just a threat that can help improve the offense all around. You know, I think that, you know, we may have potentially lost a little bit there, but at the end of the day, I mean, you look at the Seahawks game and the way that these guys went out and grinded and battled. I mean, they played a great game on offense, you know, without me. So I like to think I can help improve, you know, obviously my presence would help out there. But the way these guys, you know, went to battle and locked in and did their thing, you know, Puka continuing to lead and do his thing and go and just be dominant. I was real proud of how they battled.
I don't blame you if you thought that was a dumbass question on my part, because without you, they still put up 37 points. Y'all still put up 37 points. You lost 38-37 in overtime on my ass. So I gotta give credit where credit is due in regard to that, Devontae. But let me stick with you on this level. How good are you feeling about the Rams right now? And I'm asking that question in the aftermath of the game against the Carolina Panthers, which you just won 34-31, courtesy of y'all heroics, Matthew Stafford, my league MVP. Tell your boy Matthew Stafford, he's the league MVP. Ain't no reason for somebody else to be league. Tell Coach Sean McVay too, Stephen A. said, don't worry about it, I got him with this. There ain't no way in hell he shouldn't be the MVP. But I got to ask you, how the hell was this game? I know about Any Given Sunday. That's one of my all-time favorite movies. But how the hell it's Carolina almost beat y'all? I was scared to death they was going to end up walking away with this win. How that happened?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think sometimes, you know, you get caught up in looking at the, you know, the roster that we have and the potential that we have. And you forget that, I mean, these games don't just get won because of the name on the back of the jersey or the logo that's on your helmet. Is at the end of the day, you got to go and show up and play a full game of football. And, you know, hello, it's playoff time. So, you know, ain't nobody just laying down out there for you. You got to go out and be dominant and play four quarters of complimentary football. And, you know, we had different times, you know, throughout the season and in the few losses that we had, you know, where, you know, if we don't play together, we don't find a way to, you know, string good drives together and put teams away when you got opportunities. You know, you have situations like this where they can come back and give you a nice little scare. But ultimately, all that mattered was that we did get it done. And, you know, we finished out the game and continue to be the resilient group that we've shown to be all year.
Devontae Adams, help us understand, because you played for 8 years in Green Bay. You've been in Los Angeles, you know, this year and what have you. You've been around for 12-year veteran in the National Football League. Does a victory like this, how does that affect you the following week? Is it something that takes a lot out of you, or is it something that elevates you and makes you even better prepared for later matches in the playoffs?
Yeah, no, I think especially when you made it the right stuff, like what this team is. I mean, it starts at the top with the head coach and the way that just the overall mentality and culture of the building. I mean, we've responded the right way off of losses, let alone coming in and having a game like where we come out, you know, start really fast, have some hiccups throughout the game, let them come back, and then we mess around and win the game, you know, in the final 30, 40 seconds of the game. I think it does nothing but give you more momentum, man. You know, we battle tested, we catalyst, and we've basically seen every way to play a game this year. You know, we've had some blowouts. We've done everything basically but get blown out this year. So, and we hope to continue that that streak as we finish up this year.
And not to throw any shade on anybody, but I'd like you to give me a perspective on Sean McVay compared to everybody else, because I happen to think that he might be the best in the business. The brother's special. Sean McVay's a special coach. He really, really is. It's seen from the outside looking at, but damn it, I ain't play football. You playing football. You know a hell of a lot better than me. Could you talk about the kind of coach he is? How good is he and why?
Well, I think, first of all, it's one of those situations, you know, Matthew and Sean are a lot alike in the sense that you meet these two gentlemen and you like, okay, this is a great first impression. Like, you know, this is kind of what you expect. You usually get somebody's best when you first meet them. But then you continue to carry on, you know, we're a few weeks into the offseason program now, and I'm like, okay, this is still kind of the same feeling that I was, you know, I was getting and I felt from this guy, you know, when I first met him. And here we are, you know, 5-6 weeks in, now we 2 months, 3 months, and now here we are, you know, at this point in the year, and I'm still feeling the same way about both of these guys, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, they are the anomaly to this game. I mean, it's tough to be, you know, to have as much success as what both of them have had, you know, living at the top of the game since basically they both got in, you know, in one way or the other, and to be as legit people. And I know I've added Matthew. I know you didn't ask about Matthew, but it just works that way that, you know, the two leaders of this organization, or two of the biggest leaders of this organization that we have, are, you know, two of the most solid individuals that you could possibly ask for. So when it, you know, when it starts at the top, it just makes sense why the organization runs the way that it does. And, you know, Sean just being obviously the football mind that he is, adding that with being able to lead men and just being just an overall stand up, just a good, respectable dude. It makes sense why this program has had so much success, you know, long before I even got here.
But, you know, it's fair to say that you didn't intimately know either before you got here. So I guess the question I would ask is, what made you decide to become a Los Angeles Ram?
Well, honestly, so I don't know how much you know about the recruiting process, but it kind of felt like I was getting recruited by Nick Saban, you know, as a five star recruit. You know, I felt I was just waiting on him to come sit on my couch and tell my mom everything's going to be okay.
Right.
But I was actually in Japan out there taking a trip with some of my buddies, and I start getting swarmed by Sean McVay, and he's just reaching out constantly sending me clips, you know, 6 minute clip here, 2 minute clip here of him watching all my tape. And he's breaking it down, and it kind of feels like John Gruden, how he would do it a little bit. And, you know, he's going through just kind of hyping me up. And before that, I honestly didn't really have the Rams too high on my radar, because I wasn't really under the impression that, you know, they were looking at me or needed me. You know, they had Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, you know, there's just a bunch of stuff that was still kind of going on here. So once I started getting, you know, some serious talks from Sean, it became clear that, you know, this is where I needed to be. And, you know, he made me feel more wanted than any other team. And, you know, once we could figure out all of the logistics with contracts and everything, it was like, all right, I can't wait to be a Ram and get over there and, you know, continue my journey and hopefully have a chance at, you know, getting what I ultimately want to do, which is raising that trophy.
I don't know if you remember, if you watched me on TV at all, if you remember seeing me talking about you, because when you was with the Raiders, I was like, man, get the hell up out of there. Don't do this to your career. You deserve better than this. Get the hell up out of Vegas, okay? You need to get the hell up out of there. And so I guess what I'm asking is that how much did the Raider experience combined with what you just described, Sean McVay bringing to the table, how much did the Raider experience make you want to go play for Sean once you saw how much he wanted you and how in depth he was willing to go to show you how serious he was about having you?
Yeah, I think that factored in. Obviously, it wasn't like, oh yeah, you know, I hate the Raiders so much. I love the Raiders and I still love the Raiders. I still root for them. I still root for all my guys that are over there. And, you know, I went there because that was my childhood dream to play for the Raiders. So, you know, nobody wanted to be there in Vegas, you know, or wherever they were going to be more than what Davante Adams did. But ultimately, you know, that wasn't going to be my forever home, and it became evident. So, You know, once I went to the Jets and kind of it was a little bit of an extension of what I was dealing with in Vegas. And, you know, I had a lot of good times there and just wanted to win, you know, play some winning good football again and be playing in meaningful games in, you know, December, January, and hopefully February again. So once the opportunity presented itself, you know, the opportunity to play with Matt Stafford and come in here and play with a great roster like what we have, you know, it was a no-brainer to me. So I did see some of those comments from you, but I couldn't blame anybody because, right. You know, I personally took it as, you know, you were a fan of me and you wanted nothing but good for me. And yeah. Well, I appreciate that. It's good to be in a situation now where we can all be happy and we just got to finish it out the right way now.
How much has departing from Green Bay influenced? It's a strange question coming from me. I get it, but I want to know how much it's influenced your life decisions. And I ask that to try and educate a lot of people because I thought when I saw you in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, who you know I believe to be one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever walk the planet Earth. That's how I feel about Aaron Rodgers that was in Green Bay all of those years. You know, I said, why would a wide receiver leave that? And I'm wondering, even though you always wanted to be in Vegas like you just described because it was a lifelong dream of yours, as you reflect on the decision to depart from a good situation that you was having meaning and connection with your quarterback, what did you learn from that? And if you had to do it all over again, would you have?
Well, that's a great question. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about just the, you know, the process and just how this league works. But more than anything, I'll say this, I wouldn't change anything. In hindsight, obviously it didn't, you know, I had a few years there where, you know, it wasn't what you guys became accustomed to seeing as far as, you know, the team output and winning games. And certainly I wasn't pleased with that aspect of it, but you know, there was just so many question marks. It was a lot. It was, you know, for the 2 years before that, it was each offseason. It was, is Aaron going to be here? Is he going to come back? And I just ultimately had to make a decision that I felt was going to be good for me in my future and, you know, have a solid foundation. And obviously, you know, in hindsight, that didn't end up being the case. Right. But I felt like at that point, that was a decision that was smart for me to make because, I mean, we did have a really good team when we got over to the Raiders on paper. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, this Rams season, if we would have came out and not had won as many games as we did. Like you look at it in preseason and in camp, everything makes sense. I mean, we had some dogs on defense. You know, we had, you know, Josh Jacobs at running back, Darren Waller, you know, Hunter Renfro, myself, Derek Carr. You know, we had things to make me feel optimistic about making that move and going there. It wasn't just totally just to be hanging out with Derek and to be with one of my friends. You know, we spend time every single offseason. So I promise you that wasn't it. It was a calculated decision based off of where I felt I had a chance to still continue on, you know, my greatness and my strive for greatness and my ability to win games. And like I said, hindsight, it didn't end up working that way. But on paper, for me, it made sense to do that. And I hadn't really seen a bunch of stuff from Jordan Love at that point. You know, he was a scout team quarterback and they weren't showcasing him as being, you know, the guy. So, right. You know, looking at him now, obviously I see he turned into a baller and it looks great. So if I could change it, you know, maybe I would love to play with him. You know, you never know. But I'm not a guy that looks back on every decision like, you know, I wish I would have, you know, I regret this or I wish I wouldn't have done that. You make decisions and you live with them in this business.
The reason I asked that question also is because I'm thinking about the element of happiness in hindsight, meaning the importance of happiness and the importance. Like, of course, I'm all for NFL players getting their money. Damn it, one injury could cost you a season, if not your career. Get your money while you can get your. I will never, ever, ever fault an NFL player for getting the money. But the other side to it is the happiness part, because you can go when you put your body on the line, when you put so much hard work in and you find yourself in a situation that doesn't make you happy. That can really serve as a demoralization. It could kick in and really demoralize somebody. So when I asked that question, I was wondering about what would you tell cats on the come up based on your experiences to think about outside of the money moving forward in terms of building.
I already do that now, especially when I talk to these guys, you know, Kanate Mumfield and some of these guys that are in the receiver room now, even Puka. I say, look, man, I don't care what you seen me do, you know, forcing trades, ending up, you know, playing with a old friend or whatever the case may be. I don't care if it's a coach that you always really wanted to play for. I always tell them the same thing over at this building. I say, hey, man, it ain't greener than this. So I jumped around a few different times and tried a few things, but that's truly what my heart told me to do. I made some calculated decisions, you know, with my wife, my family, and, you know, even the clubs, just talking to them. And it was always a, you know, we always left in a respectful position. I never went in, you know, barking in any, you know, buildings, going in to the head coach or the owner saying, this is what I need, this is how it's going to be. You know, it was always a respectful, you know, transaction, and we always dealt with it the right way. But it was something that I felt like I had to do. But just after being here in this Rams facility, this organization, I just let them know, man, it ain't gonna be greener than this. So whatever it is, I don't care what you got to do, make sure you stay in this building and just appreciate a building like this, because just take my word for it.
You got the team and you got the Southern California sunshine. I don't know about the taxes part. I can't help you there. I can't help you with the taxes. That's a nightmare. But everything else, lovely. Absolutely. Listen, you played with Aaron Rodgers. You played with Derek Carr. You're playing with Matthew Stafford. Talk about what Stafford brings to the huddle during the critical game-winning drives, what he brings to the table overall that makes him as special as he appears to be.
I mean, the most poised individual I've ever been around. I mean, and I say that because I don't say that comparing him to Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr, Brett Hundley, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, whoever. I compare him to me, to be honest. I think about it, I'm like, I think about the poise, and I think about how I am and how fiery I get in certain moments, whether it's good or bad. And I just think about this dude, and he's just cool as the other side of the pillow, no matter if he threw a pick or a 70-yard touchdown. So, you know, I aspire to have that type of, you know, control of my emotions. For him to be as fiery as he is, and as get as, you know, riled up as he can get. I mean, he stays cool in the midst of everything, and that just radiates throughout the whole huddle. And you can feel it. You can feel the calmness and just the control that he has throughout the whole game.
14 touchdowns on the season, 789 yards receiving, 60 receptions. Those are your numbers for this season. You already got over 12,600 yards for your career, in your 12-year career. How much of this year's numbers are about you at this stage and point in your career on your own, and how much of it is about that bad brother Puka Nacua on the opposite side of the field playing, and everybody got to contend with him too, not just you? Yeah. How much does he help you?
Well, I think it goes both ways, man. Yeah. I mean, you can look at it however you want. I mean, we started off the season week one. You know, Derek Stingley's following me. We go to week two, and Legarius Sneed, he's following me in Tennessee. And then, right, you know, next after that, we play the Colts, and Sevens follow me around. So it's a situation where, you know, it makes it too tough on the defense. It's like, do we want to have somebody follow? Do we want to cloud one side? We can't just tilt a safety to one side because they'll just throw to the other side and it'll work. So, you know, he's helped me. He's taken a lot of pressure off me. And I like to think that I've done the same for him, just to, you know, keep this field as balanced as possible. That way we don't have to worry about, you know, forcing the ball to anybody. You know, anytime the ball goes to me, I like to think that's where it was supposed to go. And anytime it goes to him, that's where it was supposed to go. And right, we got the best quarterback in the game that's going to be able to find those options. And, you know, the way that Sean and Matthew put things together and the rest of the offensive staff, I mean, it makes us real tough to beat. And that's why you see the product that you've seen this year.
Man, before I let you get on out of here, I got to express a bias that I've had that y'all changed. Let me tell you what it is. I've often looked at, you know, warm weather teams. You know how the Miami Dolphins can't win once the weather degree is 40 degrees or lower. You know, they can't mm-hmm. Suddenly they can't win when it's 40 degrees or lower.
I've seen it.
That's right, okay? But y'all don't have a problem. I mean, the Rams went into Philadelphia last year and almost won and damn near blizzard, okay? I'm looking at this team, and I said, you know what? They got this game coming up against Chicago. If it was any other time before I saw last year, there's no way in hell I would have picked them to beat Chicago just because of the weather, the Windy City, Soldier Field, all of that stuff. But I'm looking at y'all right now with Matthew Stafford behind center, with you and Puka and the crew, and I'm like, it's going to be a great game, but y'all could take them out. How are you looking at yourself and this team going up against the Chicago Bears? What do you see from the Chicago Bears that you need to be concerned about? How confident are y'all that y'all can beat them in Chicago?
Well, they one of those squirrely teams, man. I think the way they started this season out, I got a lot of respect for the way that they finished it out. You know, it's not easy to go on runs in this league. It's not easy to win one game, let alone, you know, going on these streaks that some of these teams have had this year. I mean, this has been a very winning season just for the NFL in general. I mean, especially on this side and the NFC side. So I'm happy for them and the success that they've had. And, you know, there's a couple guys that I know on that team over there. So I'm proud of the way that they've battled. But I mean, when we're playing our best ball, man, we're the best team in the league. So, and I can say that because I you look across the roster and it makes sense. And then the proof is in the pudding in the way that we played. I mean, we played clean football, been by far the least penalized team, and, you know, scored a lot of touchdowns this year. So I got a lot of, you know, faith in us and the way that we can go out and handle business. But just like I said at the beginning, man, it doesn't just happen because of the name on the back of the jersey. You got to go out there and play better football than that team that day. And that's what we're going to go out there and have a great week of practice and great week of prep just to put us in a position where, you know, that's a prerequisite is how you prepare. And then we go out there and, you know, matter if it's 17 or 7 or 2 degrees, whatever it is, we both got to play in it and go out there. And thank God we got a quarterback that played, you know, most of his career in you know, games like that. They obviously had a dome in Detroit, but played Chicago twice a year and was able to, you know, handle it then. And, you know, myself, some of my best games in my career have been in the snow. So, you know, we'll see what the weather looks like. But either way, both teams got to play in it. So we'll go out there and make it do what it do.
What specifically do you have to do to beat Chicago this weekend?
Well, first off, take care of the ball. I think anytime we take care of the ball, we make it really tough. We don't make a lot of mistakes on offense, but when we do, that obviously, you know, we can't be spotting the defense anything. And then as a defense, we got to go out and play real sticky coverage on them because we know what Caleb can do once he escapes that pocket. And he's been making some pretty outrageous throws lately. And, you know, I'm happy or not happy, but proud of the way that he's done his thing this year. So they got a lot of different things that they can do. And I think that they've continued to show that over the course of the year. So, but as long as we own our stuff, man, I like us.
You like it. You like y'all. You believe that y'all can win the Super Bowl. I just want to make sure. I know it's obvious, but I'm asking anyway.
I believe that we have what it takes. Now, we got to obviously put together everything and play the right way, and we can get that done. I believe so.
Last question. You turned 33 Christmas Eve, December 24th, if I remember correctly. How much time you think you got left? Once upon a time, people wondered how much time you have left, but I look at you in Los Angeles. I'm like, you got plenty of time left. How much time do you think you got left?
Well, man, look, I'm staying focused on just if I can continue to run 21, 22 miles an hour at 33, 32 years old, whatever it is, and
right,
the good Lord keep blessing me with my health. You know, that so I can only control so much, but I like to think where I'm at right now, I don't need to think about retiring. Unfortunately, but coming into the season, that was a real thought in my mind that, you know, just based off of how things have been going lately, that could be the reality here soon. But, you know, we'll finish this year out and then we'll have a better idea coming out of this year. But I still won't be able to say, you know, next year or the year after that exactly. But keep working and the good Lord keep blessing me, man. Hopefully we got plenty more time.
Is it fair to say you can't see yourself being anywhere else but Los Angeles as long as Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay there?
That is very, very, very fair to say. I like to think that I don't want to make any more stops, man. I've already played for more teams than what I thought I would.
That's right.
So, I would love if this could be my last stop.
Man, proud of who you are, proud of your game, proud of what you're doing this year. All the best to you. Know you always got a home here anytime you want to come back on. I appreciate you, bro. Good luck this week and handle your business. I have no problem with the Rams being in the Super Bowl. Actually, that was my
I appreciate
pick.
That.
All right, my man.
No
you take
doubt.
It easy.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, you don't. Your guy's not on the NFC side this year, so we'll go ahead and try to take care of that for you.
Exactly. Please do. Appreciate you, bro. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate
one and
you,
only
bro.
Devontae Adams for the Los Angeles Rams right here with Stephen A. SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888 Mad Dog 6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Got a lot to say about what he had to say and about some of the stuff that's going on in the NFL, particularly the Steelers getting trounced by the Houston Texans last night in Pittsburgh, where I was for the game doing pregame duties for Monday night NFL countdown. So it's a lot to get into. Stick around. 888 Mad Dog 6, 888-623-3646 plus. Your voicemail message at SiriusXM.com/get. Serious. That's SiriusXM.com/get serious. You're listening live. Stephen A. SiriusXM. Holla at your boy.